Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at bite.com. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Bite.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
It's Rog. It's Friday, and we made it to the end of another week. Barely, perhaps, after that long, long night. Last night, a late one, watching... Oh, our US men succumb to reality in San Salvador, El Salvador. We will dive into that game in depth in just one moment. Game which was about as easy as having to watch Murray go number two at the end of White Lotus. There was an incredible comment actually left on our, I think it was our Instagram, by M.A.B. Eldo, who wrote, "Bench Dest, Ream and Yedlin. Be nice if Berhalter 3G could make adjustments in the moment. Rather than being like Rachel from White Lotus, slow to recognise a reality that everyone else sees immediately." Oh, harsh, but funny. A bit like White Lotus itself. More on El Salvador's night of nights upcoming. Up top, they first wanted to celebrate a wonderful moment in my life, in J-Dub's life. Yesterday, we dropped the trailer for the official Band of Brothers podcast that we've just created in partnership with our friends at HBO. And here's a 30-second bite. Band of Brothers, that epic Second World War miniseries created by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, is turning 20. And to celebrate, we've created HBO's official Band of Brothers podcast, featuring behind-the-scenes insight from the likes of Damian Lewis, Ron Livingston, and Tom Hanks himself.
I can talk about this stuff all day!
Available on HBO Max and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hooray! Hooray!
Like many of you, I fell in love with Band of Brothers, a miniseries Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg created together after Saving Private Ryan, that urtext of great Second World War movies. Fell in love with Band of Brothers the moment I first saw it, when it dropped September 9th, 2001. And it's incredible when you realise that was 20 years ago already. And I was genuinely humbled when HBO asked J-Dubs and I spend our year interviewing the creators and the actors who made Stephen Ambrose's beautiful book come alive. We jumped at the chance. I don't need to tell you that. We bloody jumped at the chance. Bite your arm off to revel in conversations with Tom Hanks. What a remarkable, generous bloke. Damian Lewis. Wow. We taped that this week and it was, as Pet would say,
really incredible.
It was Pep. It was. As was Ron Livingston, Donny Warburg, Moore and Moore, reliving the epic journey of Easy Company from D-Day until the conclusion of the war, when they captured Hitler's Eagle's Nest in Berchtesgaden, Germany. A telling which embodies the idea of American leadership that I grew up admiring from afar as a kid. That leadership, that empathy, that courage, that everyday heroism, that follow me ethos, by which I've been awestruck ever since. There'll be more Band of Brothers at the end of this podcast, including how you can really connect to the piece. But please sign up today, subscribe, spread the word. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to the trailer. Subscribe when we drop the first two episodes, which is this Thursday, September the 9th, the actual 20th anniversary of the first airing of the show. And the first episode is a long conversation, a really long conversation, a beautiful conversation with Tom Hanks about Second World War memory and how Band of Brothers actually become more important and ever more popular as the soldiers who fought it pass on and younger audiences become hungry to connect to the story of the greatest generation. Episode 2 is a magical conversation with the truly delightful Ron Livingston, aka Lewis Nixon III, as we relive the making of Currahee, that first installment of Band of Brothers, where we saw Easy Company and a brutal yet formative basic training experience at Camp Tekoa to the brink of D-Day. Like many of you, I watch Band of Brothers every year, ritually. You know, I want to watch it. I see new things every time, experience new emotions, new depths of understanding. And I hope you'll rewatch the show along with me as the podcast drops. And always remember,
Currahee!
Currahee!
Okay, let's do it. Sting me up, producer Jonah.
Raise up your Jaeger, your Bud and your wine. Together there's light even down Big Sam's mine. WGFOP, the bald.
That was The Big Sam's Mind Sting by Caleb in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Timely reminder that there's always light, even down Big Sam's Mind. And this is WGFOP The Bald, the show where you phone in your questions and I answer them to the best of my ability, which is about half of the average person's ability. Call in your message at 646-450-9472. That's 646-450-9472 and it'll be your voice on the pod.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Let's do this. Question me up.
This is Daniel from Durham, North Carolina, and that was a dumb waste of time.
Daniel, mate, say more. Not sure what you're referring to. Men in Blazers has released so much content this week, you could be talking about any of it. Gonna go out on a limb though, mate, and say you are talking about El Salvador 0, US men 0, that bar fight we had to endure last night. First of all, congratulations, El Salvador. Up top, we should say, you had a plan. You were highly motivated. You had incredible shape, incredible organization. And my God, hope you had a night. But from an American perspective, welcome to CONCACAF, baby Eagles. After that dizzying summer filled with tchotchke after tchotchke, and then the everything and nothing ascension to 10th place and the always misdirecting FIFA rankings, which are a load of old crap. US fan confidence turned up to 11 as we tuned in to watch our young dreamers take the field. And then 90 confused, sloppy, often headless minutes later, we were back to earth with a bump. Weren't El Salvador meant to be one of the weaker teams left in this oddly shaped tournament? Yeah, but this is CONCACAF, a parallel universe only loosely connected to football, where the fields are rutted and hay-covered, prison rules are in full effect, and riot police protect players with their shields as they take corners to deflect incoming bags of piss. And really, the tone of the whole game was set during the anthem singing. No sooner had one line of the American national anthem rang out in a packed Amped Estadio Cuscatlan than a firework exploded loudly, causing beautiful Gio Reyna to flinch. And the US never really recovered. Slightly off topic, but my lord Matt Turner has the voice of an angel. Anyway, the United States opened in a style Arsenal fans, it was eerie, will have recognised. For the first 10 minutes, they were bright, ambitious and daunted, created a slew of fine chances, including an open header that Miles Robinson will rue missing, before El Salvador just upped their intensity and the US shape. God, what happened? It just buckled. At times in that first half, the US looked like an 11 who hadn't trained together before, whereas El Salvador had a clear idea of what they were trying to do. They had partnerships all over the field. And the US just disintegrated into little more than dribbling into three or four defenders. My God, that was hard to watch. Or sloppily conceding possession. A rude awakening for those who believed our young guns simply had to turn up to demolish all comers by right. And yes, we've never had better young talent. But as I've said many, many times, CONCACAF is a different beast to European club play. It is the Star Wars cantina of footballing federations. Luckily, yeah, the US were Arsenal-esque, but El Salvador were reminiscent of Wolves. So much forward play, so much buccaneering and no end product. God, but if they learned to cross the ball ever with any measure of accuracy, the United States could have been in trouble. Let's pick ourselves up for a second. America!
Hey Raj, this is Mike from Boston. I'm a big Liverpool guy, but also a huge USA guy. I just got finished watching the game against El Salvador, and throughout the entire game, I couldn't stop thinking about how a lot of these players haven't really been in these hostile environments that they're about to face throughout the entire World Cup qualifying cycle. You know, a lot of these guys either play in the MLS, which, let's be honest, the fan bases aren't really as hostile as they are in places like South America or even certain parts of Europe. And the other half of guys, maybe they play in Europe, but, you know, they've been behind closed doors for the past year, or even then the fans aren't as crazy as they are in these places. So, I don't know, do you think that the fact that these guys have been a little bit, I guess, sheltered or pampered, is going to be a factor, because a lot of them seemed really shaken up in the beginning of the match by the intimidation of the crowd and the environment that they were in. And I'm wondering if you think that's going to be an impact on this qualifying cycle. All right, thanks, guys.
Mike, you beauty. There is some truth in what you say. There always has been truth. You know, when you spoke to Premier League-based Americans in days of yore, your Clints, your Josies, your Tim Howards, just how different a beast CONCACAF is to elite football in Europe with its manicured fields and elite facilities. You know, I remember running into Jurgen Klinsmann on the flight home from Honduras in the 2014 cycle. We just got beat 2-1 and Jurgen was in shock. He could not believe what he had just endured coming from the UEFA World Cup qualifying experience. CONCACAF is another world. You have to understand it, and that is a learning process, which is what Triple G said post game.
And you know, looking at this as a learning experience, I think the guys handled it well. But there needs to be a calm that sets in after that initial period where we start taking over. And we never really had that. We never really had the calm. It was bits and pieces in the second half, but overall, not enough.
Yes, this journey is going to be a learning experience, a learning curve for everyone, the players as individuals, the squad as a collective, but also for Greg Berhalter. He's never done this before. He's never managed a World Cup cycle. He's never managed an international team. And he has so much to prove. He has to prove to himself, to the football-loving audience in the United States. He needs to show he can handle the chaos of CONCACAF as a manager. I'd love to see him step up and articulate what he's trying to do and to see him make changes in-game that affect that game. But it's also a learning curve for us as fans. You know, if the baby Eagles becoming ensnared in the mud fight of CONCACAF was rationally all too predictable to anyone who's witnessed World Cup qualifying cycles before, it was astonishing to experience the extreme emotional reaction, the fan panic this morning, flickering through supporter chat. Sergeant should never play for the US again. Someone wrote, if Weston plays like that, we should bench him. Probably in an American accent. The worst, Rayner not fit for the last name. I'm like, the kid is 18 for crying out loud. Just this knee-jerk whiplash reaction. Honestly, it's fascinating. Both ways, both the overreaction when we win a Gold Cup with a B team, which I didn't fully understand. It was a lovely night. It was a great game. It was a fun win. But I also don't understand the shirt tearing when we only scrape a point on the road in El Salvador. And both, I do think, are worth taking a moment to think about. We need to hold up a mirror to ourselves and try and deconstruct ourselves on the couch. And I do believe so much of our frustration, so much of our hunger, so much of our yearning still comes from the pain of 2017's failure, that humiliation, which created a deep wound, a darkness. It did. I feel it. And we also badly want to put that darkness behind us to heal it immediately. We want moments of wonder and we want them now. But international football doesn't work like that. It requires patience. Squads have to have time to gel, to create chemistry. Heroes' journeys are never an overnight stroll. Give us more joy, Jonah.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause our flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
Next question.
Hi, Raj. It's John from Los Angeles, but born and bred in Bethesda, Maryland. So yes, that makes me a long-suffering Washington diplomat supporter. Still can't believe that our three Flying Dutchmen in Cruyff, Wim Jansen, and Thomas Rondon didn't bring a soccer ball championship home to RFK. But anyway, but I did have a question about the U.S. men's national team. It seems we fielded our most talented team ever. And I wonder if the days of the great Yank parlor game, what if our best athletes played soccer, a.k.a. wheelbaps, are over. And was curious about the Italian and English national teams. They seem to have righted their ships. But if you were Italian and were playing a round of what if our best opera singers played calcio, who would you have poached from the stage of La Scala? Or maybe England, who would you have whisked away from Balmoral by helicopter in an English version of what if our best royals played football? These things keep me up at night, Raj. Anyway, cheers, or as they say in Bavaria, Lederhosen.
John from Los Angeles, you made me laugh when I needed to. Thank you, mate. What if our best opera singers play calcio? Oh, that is just magnificent as an idea. Look, we have the talent in the United States now. We don't have to sweat anymore about why LeBron's not playing football. Why is Tom Brady not pulling on that slightly odd cut neck of our US men's national team jersey? You know, our kids are starting at Chelsea, Juventus, Barcelona, Dortmund. We used to have a fiesta when our players played against that caliber of team. Now they star on them. But international football is a weird beast. So let me say this, deep breath. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go out on a limb. I do believe we will qualify for the 2022 World Cup. But how we actually do there depends on the lessons we learn along the way. We may not learn them, to be candid. There is a scenario, I want to be quite clear, where we do not learn any lessons, any warning signs as they blink. And there's many that are blinking consistently. But we need to learn about the growth and development we demonstrate as players, as a squad, at the coaching level. I want to see an idea of football develop. I want to see the players buy into that coach's idea. I also want to see, as I said, in-game changes. I want to see tactical control and mastery from Greg. I want to see it evident. But do not panic. Panic should only kick in if we fail to win home games starting this Sunday against an ever-improving Canada. God, CONCACAF. Ever-improving teams all over the place. Only going to make us sharper, but it's only going to make every game more ruthless. So to take a point on the road in the first game of a CONCACAF oddly shaped final round is what you want to do. We did that. There's 30 more games to go. And here's the truth. I took a lot of crap this summer when I said that winning the Nations League and Gold Cup gave us lovely memories and fun nights, but were both ultimately no big deal. The only big deal that matters to me is qualifying for the World Cup and what we do there. That is all that matters. And this US men's team, they are a young project in progress. Here's what I said. I tweeted this out last night. We are not as good as we believe we were after the sugar high of the summer. After the 10th in the world ranking from FIFA, which frankly did us no favours. I think one of the pundits last night was like, we're a number 10 team in the world. We need to play like one. We're not. But the other side is also true. We're not as bad as the knee-jerk frustration crackling around after last night's draw in El Salvador. This journey we're on, it needs patience and baby steps. I truly believe this. We have to be good before we become great. Keep them coming.
Hey, Raj, this is Matthew Sy from Modesto, California. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm a huge Arsenal supporter. I've been an Arsenal fan since the year 2000 when I lived in Harpenden in Hertfordshire as a young teen trying to change the world. My question to you is, the rumor just hit the internet that Tobin Heath will be signing for the Arsenal women's team. Thoughts? For me, this makes them instant title favorites, as we've secured other signatures like Nikita Paris and some world-class talent that's already there like Maidema and Beth Mead. Ultimately, my question to you is, do you agree with me? Do you think Arsenal are title favorites for the WSL this year if Tobin joins, or are they only doing this so they can sell more shirts in the United States of America? Thanks for taking my question, Raj. Cheers. Have a great day.
Matthew, hello, gorgeous. Yes, thank you for this question. The Women's Super League is back in England in our loving arms this weekend with a new TV deal, which has made the league muscle going next level. Just watching the marketing, the pizzazz, just every team trying to go next level ahead of kickoff. It's fascinating to watch that league develop. It's going to be very interesting to see how NWSL reacts, but also fascinating too, it should be noted, that wave of US players, Sam Lewis, Rose Lavelle, Alex Morgan, Abby Dolkemper, Kristen Press, all of whom arrived in England en masse last year, all are now back, but Tobin Heath. who just signed for Arsenal. Yes, a newly re-energised Arsenal who faltered at the beginning of last season. Changed coaches. Many wonder if they'd actually cash in on Miedema. What a phenomenon she is as a goal machine, as a ruthless, ruthless clinical creator and finisher. But they not only kept her there, but added Nikita Paris and have announced the team will play home games at the Emirates and soon have a new training base at London Colney. The investment is going in. They believe their time is now. So Tobin, to me, no marketing trick. She is a symbol of that Arsenal renewed desire as she continues her English adventure. All power to Tobin on a stacked Arsenal side that's going to have a real run at the title and will look to reassert themselves and really battle Chelsea and Manchester City and, please God, Dark Horse Everton. And I wish Arsenal joy. I really do. I wish them luck. I hope they win it. Arsenal fans, you deserve joy too. Come at me, bro.
Hello, this is Elizabeth calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. The question I have is, now that Ronaldo is back playing in England, back with Manchester United, will he bring back the little mullet? Business in the front and the tiniest party in the back. That's what we all got to know.
Elizabeth from Cincinnati, Ohio. Oh, skyline, chilly, messy. Asking the big questions, the hard hitters about Ronaldo. I'd love him to bring back that ratty little wet hair gel mullet because it was the greatest symbol of the attack, attack, attack Manchester United that we all want to see again. By the way, slightly related, can you imagine the future? A future bald Ronaldo. That is just a mind-blowing concept. But getting back to massive Ronaldo news. Massive is redundant. Is there any other kind of Ronaldo news other than massive Ronaldo news this week? United put out a press release saying Edinson Cavani has graciously given up his number 7 shirt to CR7. See, it's in his name. Pretending as if, yes, we'll all play along and pretend that Cavani had any choice in the matter. But it has been incredible watching the coverage of his return, the commercial side of it. Manchester United are reported to be facing a shortage of replica jerseys to sell due to COVID-influenced delays in the Adidas supply chain. Just that sheer rush of Ronaldo jersey demands. And Sky Sports has had breathless coverage of that.
These are the scenes, look at this, outside Old Trafford this morning with an orderly queue of more than 100 fans forming and fans soon entering to get their hands on the new shirt as well. Fans who bought this season's shirt with Cavani 7 on the back can exchange it for a new shirt. That's good, isn't it? Edinson Cavani has given up his number, of course, to accommodate the man known as CR7.
I've got three lads. I've had to get rid of my Juventus kit that he bought, the new one as well, the Ronaldo one. So that's no good, is it?
It's my 10-year-old son, so I'm a season ticket holder, so I remember the first time Ronaldo was here, watching his debut against Bolton. My son's 10, he can't remember Ronaldo being here, and he is absolutely over the moon, so that's why I'm here, to come and get him a shirt.
What he's done here, and then what he's done elsewhere, not only for his own country, but like in Madrid, and even in Juventus for the short time he was there, he'll bring something special back to United.
Yep, we're now watching highlights of fans buying jerseys. Modern football. My favourite quote this week, by the way, on the Ronaldo topic, Pep Guardiola. When asked in a press conference if he really would have signed Ronaldo for Manchester City.
If Manchester United hadn't come in for Cristiano Ronaldo and signed him, do you feel that you would have been able to sign him?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Next question.
Hey, Raj, Jay from Washington, D.C., the capital of our home. Congrats first on the great book. Love it. I'm a huge fan of Norwich and have recently become a owner, a minority owner of the club. Convince me that Norwich is staying up in the Premier League this year. I'm confident, feeling great. Josh Sargent, I've promoted him. Josh Captain, is captain of my heart. Some other great picks in the transfer window. Cannot be more excited about it. Convince me and everyone else around me that Norwich is staying up. Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work. Love you.
Jay, thanks for your kind words about my book and your love of the game and your passion for Norwich City, an owner. Wow. for those canaries in the mine shaft. To answer your question, we'll know a lot more about your team's fate after the next two games against some fellow strugglers, Arsenal and Watford. I love Norwich. I've made that clear. I want to make that very, very clear. I just love the city. The region is so beautiful. Most of all, I love the role the club plays in the area. And it's summed up for me by my visit there when I met the owner of the town's best sushi restaurant, who just had a tiny, beautiful baby. And they named him after the manager of Norwich City, Daniel Fark.
My name is Shin, and I'm from Japan, and I have a restaurant in Norwich, and I am a great supporter of Norwich City Football Club.
You have a baby, beautiful baby, April the 23rd, baby Kiriku.
Yes.
You're looking for a middle name, as you do. You wanted something that encapsulates the whole Norwich worldview.
Exactly. And then I asked my wife, Michael, and she came up with Fark Life.
Micah, this was your idea?
Yeah.
Go on. Oh, inclusivity.
Yeah.
Togetherness.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
What could be more Norwich than that?
I don't know. Only him, Fark Life.
Oh, bless. I often wonder what's happened to baby Fark Life and how he's been impacted by the ups and downs of the Norwich City story. But here's the reality for Norwich. There is real talent there, but the team seem to be repeating the open play mistakes of last campaign, where they just leaked goals, took on water at a terrible and bearable clip, and they need to lean into the words of Tom Hanks from my interview with him about Band of Brothers, where he told me that the show proved that there are incredible moments where impossible things, unimaginable things come to happen because like-minded people come together and make it so. He was talking about Band of Brothers, but you could say the same for Norwich City, which is a craven pivot by me to bring this podcast back full circle to end where we began. I'm going to leave you with my full trailer for the Band of Brothers podcast because, well, it's super magic. And I'm going to send you my love. I will be with you on Sunday for the Canada game. Date with destiny. Until then, no sleep till Nashville. Courage.
There are moments throughout history in which impossible things, unimaginable things have come to pass because like-minded people decided to get together and make it so.
Welcome to the HBO official Band of Brothers podcast. I'm Roger Bennett, and I'm elated to be part of this podcast series celebrating the 20th anniversary of Band of Brothers release. Yes, it's incredible to believe that two decades have passed since that singular television event created by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg was unleashed on the world. With its sweeping narratives, a magnificent ensemble cast, chronicling a group of like-minded people that Hanks himself just described. Easy Company, 2nd Battalion of the 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment of the 101st Airborne Division, US Army. Glory, glory, wild, this podcast will retrace Easy Company's journey episode by episode, deepening your appreciation with behind-the-scenes insight via conversations with its biggest stars, like Ron Livingston, who portrayed Captain Lewis Nixon and told us about the way the cast deeply immersed themselves into their roles for an actor boot camp.
I gotta say, Rod, when I say we drank the Kool-Aid, we drank the Kool-Aid.
Donny Wahlberg, whose empathetic human portrayal of the soulful second lieutenant Carl Wood Lipton also led to a life-changing deep friendship with the man himself.
A relationship had been built and a fondness had developed and a respect was there. That made me more proud than anything.
And series co-creator Tom Hanks.
Anybody seeing this for the first time will be saying, all right, take away the clothes. This is not a celebration of nostalgia. This is an examination of the human condition. What do you think? What would you do?
So subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, every episode of Band of Brothers is available to watch right now on HBO Max. Until then,
Karahe!
Hey Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.